Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
Welcome on to yet another edition of the Kona Edge. I'm just looking at the number of episodes we've done up until now. This is episode number 425. Wow, it's incredible. We've been going just under 2 years, and 425 episodes. We continue to churn them out. Hopefully you are still enjoying them. If you haven't left us a rating or a review yet on iTunes, I'd really appreciate it if you did. It just really helps us grow this podcast and get in front of more people just like you, and helps us grow the sports. I've been getting some phenomenal feedback, and I'll read one of those reviews at the back end of the show as well. So thank you to everyone who has left us a review, and don't forget that this year, once again, we are giving away an entry into a full Ironman distance race. You get to choose the race you want to do. We pay for it. All you need to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/win to find out more. That's W-I-N if you'd like to get into the draw to win that full Ironman entry race. Go check it out. That's thekonaedge.com/win. You can also text the word Ironman. That's IRONMAN to 44222, and I'll send you all those details. Well, today on the podcast, I get to share another incredible story of a phenomenal athlete, and I just love getting feedback about the stories, because I'm a huge fan of the stories, and I'd be interested to know which one of the segments that we do you prefer. Do you love the motivation in the stories, or do you like the nitty-gritty of the individual disciplines? Do be in touch, brad@thekonaedge.com, to let me know. But today I get to chat to Amy Farrell and share her story here on the Kona Edge. That's coming up on the other side of the Coach's Corner. Today's Coach's Corner brought to you by Superfly Coaching. They've helped dozens of athletes reach Ironman Kona, the 70.3 World Championships, and even the Olympic Games. Their coaches, along with Joe Friel, have written several books on training methodologies. Their experienced coaches are uniquely qualified to recognize your skills while addressing your weaknesses. Their coaches have already helped athletes just like you reach their goals, so let them help you. Whether you're attempting to release pounds or shave off a few seconds, they're with you every step of the way. Are you interested in upping your game from acceptable to exceptional? By partnering with your passion and their experienced coaches, you can reach your full potential. Their coaching plans are like their clients, no two are alike. Once you've chosen your service level that works best for you, your coach will begin to develop your customized plan. Don't let stomach issues ruin your race. From coaching to nutritional advice, they cover it all. To discover more about Superfly Coaching, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. And don't forget, if you're a coach or have a coaching business and would like to get a plug on the podcast, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. We head to upstate New York now to catch up with Ironman age grouper Amy Farrell. Amy, welcome onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Amy, I'm not going to give away your age, but you have been around the sport for a while. You did take a bit of a break in the middle. You've come back into the sport. Do you feel renewed over for the last few years back in the sport second time around?
I actually feel amazing. I just turned 40 in May. And I last week I won Ironman Lake Placid, and PR'd by I think 23 minutes on the course from when I was a youngster, from when I raced as I think I was 23 or 24. So I'm definitely feeling renewed.
It's only triathletes who celebrate birthdays, because it's a new age group. Woohoo!
Yes.
You don't feel 40, I'm sure. I've also, funnily enough, just turned 40. You don't feel it at all?
Really, I don't. I had when I got back into Ironman in 2013, 2014, I felt really good. Then by 2015, I was pretty worn out. So last year, I took the year off from Ironman until the end of the season when I did Ironman North Carolina. And I took most of the season relatively easy. I ended up racing a lot more than I thought I would have, but training was not too crazy. I kind of had to dial it back, and I think that's probably why I feel so good this year.
And sometimes it's good to take a bit of a break like that. It's funny you say that because I've actually just done that. I've taken a year and now I'm ready to get back into it. I'm like, you know what? I've been running, I've been messing around, but no hardcore sort of stuff. And sometimes you need to just take a step back and realize what you've actually got and how much you do actually appreciate and love what you do.
Yes, yes. And that was it last year. A lot of the previous years I was putting in a lot of volume and I train up here alone pretty much. So swimming and cycling, I'm almost always by myself. And then I have three dogs that I run with, but that got kind of exhausting. So doing all these races that I had kind of put on the back burner for a few years was really fun. And racing myself into shape for North Carolina was kind of what I did. And it really worked. I really am excited about triathlon this year. I'm excited going into Kona. I don't feel fried after Lake Placid. I'm feeling ready to go.
You've got quite an interesting sort of background in the sport, if we can take a step back. And your first introduction into Ironman was, I believe it was in the early 2000s, where you had a couple of experiences on Kona and probably not the best if you look back. And then life got in the way. You ended up having a daughter and got busy as a mom, but you've managed to redeem yourself on the Big Island, haven't you?
Yes, that was when I got back into it in 2012. I had taken a break because we just bought a motel, and so my summers were full cleaning motel rooms and helping guests. But my first Ironman was Kona 2000, and I got blown off my bike there, blown across the road, and I still have some good scars from that. And then the next year I DNF'd. So that was 2001. So it was 12 years of thinking about that race before I went back to redeem myself. And I think over the course of 2013 and 14, I really did.
It's incredible. I always ask athletes if they, once they've raced on the Big Island, do they feel like they have unfinished business? But after those two sort of, I mean, you literally, and that's what people say, we blew the bike. You literally got blown off the bike and the DNF. Yeah. It must have been tough. Sort of, like I said, life gets in the way and things happen and timing's not right. Stewing on that for 12 years must have been pretty hard.
Yeah, I did some other things. You know, I'm a teacher and a coach. And I started running again pretty seriously in 2007. And I just missed the Olympic trials qualifier time by a minute twice in that year. And I really tore my body up trying to do marathons. And so that was how I gradually made my way back to triathlon. It was where my body was happiest and uninjured. So, yeah, but it was a few years where I was just running around with a baby jogger and you know, having fun with my daughter and my husband and our dogs and working like a dog. So it's good to be back.
I'm sure. Tell me about your introduction. Where did your sort of introduction to triathlon happen? When was that and how did it happen?
I grew up, a runner pretty much. I did swimming in high school and there was a local family. One of their sons became a pro duathlete and, just, they were coaches in the area and just talking to them gave me the idea in high school that eventually I wanted to be a triathlete. I also always loved watching Ironman Hawaii on TV. And was astounded at one of the years when they were showing what Paula Newbie Fraser ate in a day. And it was like a crazy amount of pizza. And anyone that follows my social media knows I really love pizza. And I don't know, that sort of hooked me in. And so in college, I was a decent runner. I qualified for nationals my senior year in the 1500 and 3000. But I really felt athletically like I had some unfinished business. So I wanted to move on to triathlon.
Did you always know you wanted to do the long stuff?
No, not really. But then once I realized how fast you had to be as a swimmer to do Olympic distance, I gravitated toward the long stuff.
What is it about Ironman and the sort of, I know there's lots of non-branded Ironman races, Challenge Family doing some great things as well, but there's something special about the Ironman events. For you, in your mind, what is it?
It's funny because I've only done three different races for Ironmans. I've done Kona 4.5 times and Lake Placid 4 times now and Ironman North Carolina. And the big thing for me is the community surrounding Kona and Lake Placid. I know them so well. And Lake Placid is really fresh for me. It's been in Lake Placid for 19 years, and I think I've seen all of the races. But the community really loves the race. And, you know, no matter who the owner of the MDOT is, the volunteers still come out, and they really love supporting the athletes. And the energy in those communities is pretty unbeatable.
You've been to Kona, like you say, four and a half times. You've had quite a few experiences there. You know what it takes to qualify and now to race on the island as well. What's the secret to qualifying for the world champs as an age grouper?
For me, I think the biggest thing that I've realized over the last few years is this is something that we get to do instead of have to do. I talk to so many triathletes who really seem to dread the work and dread the race. But I've also had some friends and an athlete that I coach pass away, and I just realized how grateful I am to get to do this. And that triathlon is our fun thing and not taking it so seriously.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because I think there's lots of people around the sport. I mean, I know a guy here back home who's struggling with cancer at the moment, and he's an Ironman. I mean, he did Ironman in South Africa earlier this year during a course of chemo. I mean, the guy's he's a phenomenal guy, just really inspirational, and going through a pretty rough time of it. And you look at someone like that, and you realize, you know what? It's like you say, yes, there's hard work that goes into this thing, but it's a choice. It's not a life sentence, and we do it because we love doing it, not because we have to and are getting paid to do it as professionals, for instance, and you have to make a living. It's a huge mindset shift when you make that mindset shift that the work almost becomes a bit easier.
Yes, definitely. And I was just reading one of my teammates for Core Sports just posted something about how she was just having an awful day of training, and she saw the sign, and it basically reminded her of the have to versus get to, and it totally changes your attitude. So the other thing with me is I just, you know, do whatever I can to make it work. So with running a motel here, if I don't have someone to help me clean, there were days last year where I would do 3 hours on the bike, get off and clean rooms for a few hours, get back on the bike, and then run off the bike. So my day was super long, but I made it work. So because the racing part is you know, fun, and you want to do your best when you're out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, race day is a celebration and a sort of reward for the hard work you've put in, essentially. But let's talk about the balance and sort of keeping life going. You sound like you've got a pretty busy lifestyle. You've got a teenage daughter and a family to take care of. You've got dogs. Tell me how you get that balance right. Is it a case of simply just planning and working that plan?
Yeah, and being flexible when the plan doesn't go well. Up here training alone, there are some days where I want to be able to be here when my daughter wakes up in the morning, and I've got a 6-hour ride, so I'll be on the trainer, just so I'm here. Otherwise, I'm 3 hours from home, and I'm feeling low, and it's really hard to get back. But definitely the family comes first, and whatever I can get done, I'm advancing myself somehow. But I've managed to figure it all out so I can get all the work done and hopefully still have fun.
How do you stay motivated? I mean, it's one thing if you've got a crew that you're training with and you know you need to wake up at 5 or 4:30 and there's four or five people waiting on the street corner and you're going to head out on the bike. But when you're doing it on your own, when the alarm clock goes off, it's so easy to hit the snooze button and roll over. What keeps you motivated and getting up in the mornings?
That's a great question. I don't know. I just love going out and seeing what I can do. And with Ironman Lake Placid, that wasn't on my schedule all year. That was kind of a late minute add. But I love to have my family at races, and I had just done Ironman Syracuse, and it was close enough that my parents and my sisters and nieces and nephews could be there. And so Lake Placid was kind of I thought I could perform well, but I really wanted to get the family out here, up here in the mountains, and have a little bit of a reunion. I really enjoy seeing how much better I can get, and especially at 40. This year's been so much fun because I did Boston and broke 3, and it felt so much easier than last year. Lake Placid and Syracuse 70.3 just felt good, and it's fun working with my coach and seeing how much his program has evolved, and where it's going to get me. So I think those are big motivators. I also have this dog that will run all day with me, and she loves half marathon pace, So that helps. She, as soon as I grab a pair of running shorts or socks, the dog goes crazy until I'm out the door. So
that's cool. What dog is it?
Her name is Freckles, and she's a German short-haired pointer mixed with a Brittany Spaniel. And she's just phenomenal. She can go all day.
That is brilliant. Tell me a little bit about the preparation and how you've changed things up from the early 2000s and those sort of failed attempts at Kona and racing the Big Island now. Have you changed a lot from your sort of training philosophy and how you do things?
Not really. I think my training has I've always worked with a coach. I think there were a couple of years when in the late 2000s where I was coaching myself in terms in the marathon. But I've always worked with a coach. And I'm someone that likes to gather information and opinions from a lot of different people. So I just like to learn and ask a lot of questions. Sometimes they're newbie questions, even though I've been around the sport for 17 or 18 years. But I just working hard, fueling. I don't obsess over weight or anything like that. I eat well, I eat healthy, but I also try and balance it out, you know, and not restrict myself. So I don't know how my approach has really changed. It's kind of always been pretty balanced.
Is there anything you're struggling with now or really working hard to get better at?
I think just I have a little arthritis in one of my knees, and you know, so I'm just trying to work on strength, and so I'm able to continue this for however long I want, and it seems to be working.
Let's talk about age grouping up and the sort of process. When people think when you hit 40 you're going to start slowing down. For some people it does start in this age group. For some it's the next one. For some it's in the early 50s, but it's going to come. You mentioned you're running PRs now, a sub-3 at Boston, which is fantastic. I mean, you're quicker than you were in your 20s, which is brilliant. The balance of working harder to get faster and or working harder to maintain, is that something that you've started thinking about?
Yeah, big time. When I won my age group at Kona in 2014, I was still feeling pretty spry. And then 2015, when I was 38, it hit. And so I have, you know, added stuff like strength and paid more attention to stuff like protein. I've always been, you know, eating a lot of vegetables and things like that, but just recovery nutrition is super important, more than it used to be. Actually sitting down. So I have a pair of, I call them FOMATEX. You know, the recovery boots that I make myself use for 30 minutes a day. So I do sit down, but, yeah, sleep has never been a big thing for me. I'm not good at it. So, I wish I could improve there, but other stuff, you gotta stay on top of things that you never had to in your 20s.
Yeah, exactly. Generally sleep wise, how many hours would you get on average a night?
Probably 6 to 7. 5.5 to 7.
On a good night. Amy, tell me a little bit about the sort of approach to racing. I mean, how many do you reckon? I mean, you mentioned you raced Boston this year. You've done Lake Placid. How many big A races would you technically have in a year? How many would you aim towards?
Well, probably two big. So this year I did Boston, then Syracuse 70.3. Lake Placid, and then I'll do probably Lake Placid 70.3 in early September, and then Kona. So I don't race a lot. Just, you know, where we are, we're far away from 3 hours from an airport, so it's just not easy to travel to a lot of races. So last year it was more races, but the only A race was Ironman North Carolina.
And as far as looking back at your triathlon career, what are you most proud of? If this was it, Kona this year is your last one, you're not racing again, what would you say has been your sort of biggest achievement to date?
I think it was just last week. My Ironman PR was from a good wind day at Kona in 2013. And I broke that by 4 minutes on an extremely challenging course. I wanted to break 10 hours at Placid, but I hadn't put in the kind of bike volume that I usually would, so I didn't know what was going to happen. And it was just a perfect day, and everything worked out, and I felt wonderful. Except for the part where I had to stop and slice my sneakers open because my feet were being pinched. But I would say that or winning my age group in Kona in 2014, because that's a lifelong goal, and that was pretty special.
I wanted to ask you about that. Coming back, and we mentioned the redemption, and I said you raced well, but you're an Ironman age group world champion, and that's got a nice ring to it. What's left to achieve once you've got that? What's the sort of attraction to keep going back?
To see if I can do it again. You know, I went back the next year and had a horrible race, and the only reason I held it together was my daughter was at the finish line in 2015. I'm sure if she wasn't there, it would have been a much longer day. But that's it. I just, you know, coming across that line before everybody else in my age group was in the world was pretty special. So I'd like to do that again.
How are you feeling in I mean, it's still a few months out to 2017's Kona, but how are you feeling from a build-up perspective? Are you feeling pretty confident that you can do it? Obviously, you're in a new age group, so the odds are I don't want to say stacked in your favor, but they're a lot better than when you're at the back end of an age group. So you must be feeling pretty good going into Kona 2017.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. My coach has just come up with some new stuff this year that I feel like is knocking my run out of the park. And cycling, it's just putting in the hours and getting those watts up. So I'm excited to get to Kona. It's nice because a lot of my teammates from Core Sports and the team that I'm on, high performance training, we've got a lot of teammates going. So it's nice to go have a reunion with people around the world there.
If I say the word Kona, what do you think?
Magical. When you look at people's pictures on Alihi Drive, you see it in their faces, your posture changes. It's just coming down that chute with all those people after such a long, hard day. It's so hot, and suddenly it's not hot anymore. That's pretty awesome, pretty magical.
As far as the sort of show that Kona is, obviously there's lots of side shows that happen during that week. How involved do you get? Are you one of those people that really soak all of that up, or do you like putting yourself into a bit of a quiet corner and you know what? It's race week, and I'm here to race. I'm not here to run down wherever in my underpants. That's are you one of those people who really just sort of zones in on race day?
I kind of balance it. Our team likes the underpants run. So Core Sports has had a pretty good But otherwise, I don't spend a lot of time in the expo. We usually stay at the end of Alihi, and I'm pretty chill race week. Yeah.
Someone going to Kona for the very first time, someone who's qualified, what advice would you give them heading onto the Big Island?
Stay cool. That's it. I just, during the last few races that I've done, the first year that I went back in 2013, I wore a white t-shirt for the run, and I should have worn it for the bike too. But I kept it wet the whole time, and it totally helped. So I tend to stay covered up racing, and lots of ice, lots of water over my head. And it followed your nutrition plan. You need to eat, you need to drink, or you're not going to survive.
Amy, if you could go back and talk to 20-year-olds, Amy, and tell her and speak to her, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself, and what would you, was there anything you'd do differently, anything you would change?
Not really. It's, you know, I kind of planned to keep going with triathlon through my 20s, but I feel like I'm more grateful now because of the way that it went and being away from the sport. I really appreciate the communities that I'm involved in now, where maybe I wouldn't have then. And I would have told that girl on the Queen K at mile 30 in 2002 to finish the race, or 2001 to finish the damn race.
Is that a big regret for you in that race, calling it quits?
Not huge. For a while it was, but I've gone back, and I think I've redeemed myself. I just felt bad because I had people out there supporting me that had spent a lot of money to come watch, and that was a bummer.
But
I figured it out, yeah.
Let's talk newbies. We've got quite a few people that listen to this podcast that are just starting out in the sport. A lot of people rush into running or into the big ones, into Ironman, and not really work their way through the sprint, Olympic, and half. What advice would you give to out-and-out newbies? Do you think, you know what, if you want to do an Ironman, go for it straight up?
Some people do it. My athletes, the ones that I just coached a couple of first-time Ironmen and women, and they went through a progression before they were ready. It's different for everybody. Some people sign up for Ironman and then go do one sprint race and then do the Ironman. So I think it's kind of personal preference and how crazy you are.
What are you trying to say? My first triathlon I ever entered was an Ironman.
Well, my first triathlon I did was a Kona qualifier. So, I think I'm one of those crazy all in.
I love it. That do you think that's what it takes to do this? You have to be all in. You, especially if you want to be good at it, you can't sort of just dip your toe in the water and expect to get the results and qualify for Kona and possibly get podiums. You have to really commit.
And if you want to do it well and not feel a lot of pain, then you got to do all the disciplines. You got to kind of follow a plan. Because for Kona, for Ironman, haphazard training is going to leave you feeling more pain on the day of the race, I think, and not enjoying it as much.
Absolutely. Well, Amy, it's been great catching up. Thanks for your time today on the Kona Edge. I look forward to delving into the individual disciplines, but we'll save that for another day. Thanks for your time today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much to Amy for sharing her story here on the Kona Edge, and be sure to listen out next week when we chat a little bit more to Amy about her swim here on the podcast. And I mentioned at the top of the show your chance to win an Ironman entry. All you need to do is text the word Ironman to 44222, and I'll send you the details on how you can get in the draw. But it does involve leaving us a review and a rating on iTunes. And we got one in from Hoosier Try in the United States, saying, great podcast, very helpful, giving us 5 stars, saying, I've truly enjoyed listening to the Kona Edge during my daily commute as I train for my very first Ironman in November. The variety of lengths and topics of each podcast really hits the mark. Nice work, Brad. Keep it up. That's from Zach in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Zach, thank you very much for that review. It is hugely appreciated. And you're in the draw. Best of luck for that first one in November. And who knows, we could be paying for it because you've got your name in that draw. If you'd like to find out more, the URL to get to is theconaedge.com/win.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for The Kona Edge.